The human brain, that 3-pound universe of jelly that somehow contains our entire existence, seems almost offended by the neurosurgeon's intrusion. Henry Marsh hates cutting into it. Looking through his operating microscope, pushing a fine sucker through soft white matter, he finds it incomprehensible that this substance contains thought, emotion, memories, and dreams. Yet this is his daily reality, navigating the most complex object in the known universe with tools that, despite technological advances, remain alarmingly crude compared to the delicacy of the tissue they address. Every operation carries the weight of potential disaster. Neurosurgeons carry what the French surgeon Lariche called the cemetery, memories of their failures that haunt them throughout their careers. This burden weighs heavily during each procedure, particularly as retirement approaches. The anxiety never truly diminishes, regardless of experience. Each morning, neurosurgeons gather in darkened rooms examining giant brain scans with sardonic amusement and Olympian detachment, a necessary emotional distance when confronting daily stories of sudden catastrophe. But this detachment shatters in the operating room, where abstract images become living tissue and life-altering decisions must be made in moments. When facing a 32-year-old woman's small, accidentally discovered aneurysm, Marsh confronted a perfect dilemma. Do nothing and she might eventually suffer a catastrophic hemorrhage, or operate with a 4-5% risk of causing immediate stroke. Despite his admission that he personally wouldn't choose surgery, she couldn't bear living with a time bomb in her head. The next morning in theater, looking through his microscope into her brain filled him with the same awe he felt 30 years earlier watching his first aneurysm operation. Despite all talk of teamwork, this moment feels like single combat. Just the surgeon, climbing down the microscope into the patient's head, instruments becoming extensions of fingers. Following the pulsing middle cerebral artery, he soon finds the aneurysm glittering in the microscope's light. Consider the pineal tumor case, a company director searching medical terms on his phone for control, contrasting with a young woman left paralyzed after spinal surgery, questioning her trust in Marsh. In neurosurgery, millimeters separate success from disaster. Success means normal life. Failure brings devastation. A perfect tumor case involved a cerebellar hemangioblastoma in a 40-year-old accountant. These rare blood vessel tumors, while demanding precision, promise excellent outcomes. Marsh meticulously removed it under magnification. Melanie, 28 and pregnant, faced vision loss from a supracellular meningioma. After tumor removal and cesarean section, she awoke with restored sight, her husband dubbing Marsh a miracle worker. That same day, another patient died from hemorrhage after glioma removal. "I trusted you," her husband said through tears, "and I still do." In 1995, Marsh performed surgery on a woman in Ukraine, operating illegally with dim lighting and secondhand equipment. Doctors observed through a cracked glass dome as he worked, struggling to see through blood that obscured his view. His first visit to Kiev in 1992 revealed a healthcare system devastated by the Soviet collapse. A modern emergency hospital stood dark and derelict with only ammonia for cleaning. Amid concerning practices, like a surgeon claiming success after injecting cold saline into a paralyzed patient's spine, Marsh found hope in Igor Kirilets, who candidly acknowledged Ukrainian neurosurgery shortcomings. His work in Ukraine and Sudan revealed universal constants: patient vulnerability, fear of death, and the need for medical honesty. These experiences highlighted both the universality of human suffering and the stark contrast between well-resourced healthcare and systems operating without proper oversight. Until age 21, Marsh studied politics, philosophy, and economics at Oxford, with no scientific background or medical heritage except a Prussian great-grandfather doctor. After heartbreak, he worked as a hospital porter in a northern mining town, living in an abandoned fever hospital, watching surgeries and writing poetry. Despite lacking science qualifications, he entered medical school, beginning in the formaldehyde-filled long room where anatomy training transformed him from layperson to practitioner. In a South London hospital, he faced medicine's harsh realities. One night, he misread an ECG and dismissed a breathless patient who died shortly after, missing ventricular tachycardia. This encounter with angoronomy, the dying patient's soul-deep anguish, haunts him still. Professional detachment helped him cope with failure, though this barrier only dissolved near retirement as he faced his own mortality. On a rainy February morning, Marsh cycled to work and saw two elderly patients, a 96-year-old with a subdural hematoma who dreaded nursing homes, and an 85-year-old woman, Mrs. Seagrave, with a massive brain tumor. Mrs. Seagrave, a doctor's widow, insisted she was perfectly all right, frustrated only that her children prevented her from driving. Her three children described her increasing confusion, which persisted until a geriatrician scan revealed a grapefruit-sized meningioma compressing her brain. Marsh explained that while the tumor likely caused her dementia-like symptoms, surgery carried a 20% risk of right-side paralysis and communication loss. Over his career, surgical age limits had evolved from excluding those over 70 to having no upper limit. The operation proved remarkably simple. The tumor peeled gently off the brain in just 10 minutes. By evening, Mrs. Seagrave was alert and grateful, a rare, straightforward success in neurosurgery. Medical students learn professional detachment, viewing patients with mixed sympathy and fear. Yet as doctors, they often resist acknowledging their own vulnerability when illness strikes. Marsh learned this when he ignored a detaching retina until it became undeniable. Post-surgery, morphine induced vivid visions in his bandaged eye, like flying over a dark desert with distant fires. For weeks, he watched a gas bubble slowly disappear in his mostly blind eye. Personal illness transformed his understanding of patient suffering. When his infant son William developed hydrocephalus from a brain tumor, he experienced the terrifying uncertainty of fearing for a child's life. Though benign, the ordeal was devastating. These experiences led him to tell trainees, "Doctors can't suffer enough," suggesting that empathy from personal suffering may be medicine's greatest teacher. Neurosurgery demands judgment and humility alongside technical skill. As Marsh approached retirement, he felt compelled to share his worst mistakes. An Italian man with acromegaly, a pituitary tumor causing excess growth hormone, suffered a fatal stroke days after a successful operation. His wife showed remarkable grace, asking Marsh to remember her husband in prayers. During a 15-hour tumor removal that had gone well, Marsh pushed too far. Instead of leaving a small piece, he attempted complete removal, tearing an artery. The patient never woke up due to brainstem damage. These experiences taught vital lessons. Avoid operations more experienced surgeons won't attempt, be skeptical of presentations showing only successes, and know when to stop. Technical skill matters less than judgment. Neurosurgery remains a profound privilege, working with consciousness itself. As Marsh tells successful patients, "We were lucky." Approaching retirement, he understands that luck, skill, judgment, and humility are inseparable.